The gospel for this evening is written in the fifth chapter of the gospel according to St. Mark, beginning at the first verse. The disciples and Jesus came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain, for he had been often restrained with shackles and chains. But the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountain, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I abjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "Well, what is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now there, on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding. And the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." And so he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. And the swineherds ran off, and they told this to the city and in the country. And the people came to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion. And they were afraid, and those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. And then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might go with them. But Jesus refused, and he said to him, "Go to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Here ends the reading of the gospel for this day. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The other day, I read about a family. And this family had discovered Bruges, a delightful village in the country of Belgium. And that city retains much of its 14th century flavor. The family had been lost, hungry and somewhat confused, bouncing along in a rented Volkswagen, when suddenly they passed a restaurant that looked inviting, and after a most delightful meal, the owner of the restaurant suggested they might want to visit the Venice of Belgium, that is Bruges. And so, to their delight, they discovered the owner had been absolutely right about the charm and the beauty. But the real surprise for them was a wonderful museum of 14th century Flemish art. And here, for the first time, they experienced art in a natural setting. These delightful and visual impressions of biblical scenes were painted on oak and retained their color across the centuries. The distinguishing characteristic of Flemish art, however, is that it is the first painting in Europe that tells an entire story on canvas or on piece of oak. Many stories were presented with all their movement and flow. But the one that really caught the imagination of this family was the story of Jesus healing the demoniac in the land of the Gerasenes. This painting actually consisted of three paintings of Jesus. One painting showed the demoniac meeting Jesus. Another showed when the demoniac was healed. And finally, the third was a picture of when the citizens requested that he leave their city. And in the background of this painting, you could see the dead swine and the confused disciples. The artist who painted this was correct in understanding Mark's gospel as a picture approach to presenting Jesus for this earliest gospel that was intended to give portraits of Jesus helping the Gentile Christians in Rome. It is a succession of scenes from the life of Jesus, most likely coming from Peter's preaching through Mark's pen, and now we hear it with our own ears. The story actually had its prelude in the preceding chapter of Mark, when the disciples in boats crossed the lake to the Gentile territory in search of rest from their labors, only to be caught in a storm on the lake. You will recall, of course, that Jesus quiets the storm. But now Mark turns to show us that Jesus can deal not only with the natural evil of the storm, but that he can also deal with the evil that infects human beings. Mark wants to use these miracles as proofs of Jesus' messiahship. So when Jesus arrived at the other side of the lake, he set foot in what's known as Gadara. And he was met there immediately by a raving, demoniac-possessed man who had been chained by the local community and left to generally inhabit an area of tombs. And when this man sees Jesus, he was immediately tormented by his presence, and he cried out with these words, saying, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And then he fell down and worshiped Jesus, and Jesus cast the demons out of him. These demons, after having identified themselves as being legion, many were driven into a herd of swine grazing nearby, and those swine stampeded over a cliff into the lake. The swine herders, realizing that they had failed in their responsibility to care for the pigs and were accountable to the owners of the swine, ran in the nearby village to inform the people what they had just seen happen. The healed demoniac requested permission to go with Jesus and his disciples, but Jesus says no. He leaves him as a witness to tell the story to the Gentile community. So with a wide brush, Jesus gives us one great canvas, so to speak, with three distinct pictures of Jesus. And incidentally, if you want to miss the real import of the story, then get all tangled up in the incident of the demons and the pig. But if you want to see what Mark is trying to tell us today, let's look at these three pictures. First of all, we see Jesus here as the tormentor. Now, what does that mean? Well, immediately the story opens with Jesus being met by the demoniac who was chained in the tombs outside the city. The community had dealt with him by using physical restraint and isolation, and the condition of the man testifies to the failure of that method of care for him. In the 20 centuries since that time, we haven't really improved our ability to help disturb people. Even today, we still constrain and isolate people with problems like this. But upon seeing Jesus, the demoniac cries out, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Had others ridiculed him and used him as the butt of harsh jokes? Was he the object of cruel pranks perpetuated by what we'll call the local rednecks? Whatever the case, this demoniac was tormented by the sight of Jesus, who was a foreigner, and expected the same treatment from Jesus that he had received from the members of his community. Now we miss the point of the story when we dismiss the outcry of this man as the raving of a demented man with whom we have nothing in common. Embrace the happy fiction that most human beings delight to bask in the presence of perfect goodness, if you wish. The only trouble is that you then find the resistance to Christianity down from that first century right up to the day as unaccountable, unexplainable. The fact is that Christ is that kind of plague to the human race in the minds of some people. There is something in all of us that cries out at times, "Why won't you just leave me alone?" We are tormented because the presence of Jesus makes us so aware of our own misery and bondage, and partly because it threatens to take away from us those ills and obsessions that we so strongly cling to. This man, the demoniac, well, he is shaken and tormented by what? By goodness. For he receives it as a judgment upon himself. And even, too, we sometimes find ourselves thinking that goodness makes us feel unworthy. This living dead man, we'll call him, is no different than a friend of mine who once said that he did not attend church because he felt unworthy. Or the typical young person who feels ceremoniously unclean in church because they've broken one commandment or the other. And let's not forget this college student who thought that his doubting of the gospel made him unacceptable to God, to the church, or to the pastor of that church. Or the tired business person who knows that he or she lives from Monday to Saturday by one set of rules, and then on Sunday morning is tormented by the judgment of Christ and the burden of his or her own demons. You know what Jesus does is this. He exposes this man, and this is the root of his torment. For to be exposed for what we are, I mean, by being limited, chained, driven people, when we're exposed, that's torment for us. But as the Gerasenes had exposed the man to hatred and ridicule, Jesus does something different. He exposes the demoniac to love, and that was hard for that man to receive. You know, we live in fear. We live in fear of having our own mask ripped off, our veneers peeled away, and most of our lives are built around keeping the defenses up in good order, putting a face on ourselves. We can deal with changes in tombs, but when we're exposed to love, we find that hard to comprehend and deal with. The demoniac needed the liberated word of the gospel from Christ, and it came to him when Jesus stepped out of that boat. It is most vivid when Jesus is pictured in the middle of our canvas as a liberator. When we see Jesus and think of him as the liberator, we realize that Christ has entered into the struggle of this man for his sanity. Jesus identifies with him in his pain, and the cure of his illness is not easily obtained. In Mark's Greek language, in which our gospel was written, poor and inadequate as it may be, it shows us the struggle of Jesus to set this man free from his demons. Jesus identifies these demons, and he speaks a liberating word when he said, "This man is now free." Free from his own demons, free from his tortured self, free now to be his true self. The liberating word of Christ neither drives us back into ourselves, chaining us in our own tombs with provincialism and archaic mindsets, nor does it fetter us with simplistic morality. Instead, the liberation Christ brings us strips away our chains from our ankles and wrists, drives the demons out of our lives, and makes us free to understand what the Christian teacher Augustine meant when he said, "Love God and do as you please." So may Christ enter your life this Lenten season, and may he free you from your own demons and free you for the love and grace to live the life he offers you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.